Great. Well, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, Alex?
Okay. I'm 24, going to be 25 next month. And I graduated from Cal about a year and a half ago now, 2017. And since then, I've been hanging out in Berkeley trying to launch a website with some friends from school. But more relevant to this conversation, I've been getting more interested in Christianity again. Mm-hmm. I was raised Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic school up through 12th grade, so I know that perspective very well. And I kind of fell away from the faith in high school. I was a new atheist fanboy for a few years. Really liked Daniel Dennett. But a few experiences I had in college, some of which involved psychedelics, made me start taking all this God stuff more seriously. Mm-hmm. And I kind of didn't know where to turn. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Peterson was one of the influences who helped steer me towards Christianity, definitely. And you yourself have helped me explore the faith in a lot more depth than I ever did. And I'm very grateful to you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. But so what I really want to talk about is something that happened to me just the past few months. Okay. It was in October. I was walking across campus. In fact, I was on my way to the pot shop. And that might have had something to do with it. But these people approached me and were like, "Hey, are you Christian or Catholic?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I was, you know, raised Catholic and I fell away from the faith, but I've kind of been asking a lot more questions about this sort of thing." And they invited me to their on-campus Bible study. So I went for a few weeks and it was interesting. And then they were like, "Hey, do you want to move on to our full class? It's like a 6-month course. We teach it in our own office off campus. And, you know, it'll just be 2 hours twice a week." And I was like, "Okay, I haven't got anything really going on then." So, you know, I show up to this Bible study. I start going for a few weeks. And they're teaching stuff that basically agrees with what I learned in Catholic school. But the way they approach studying the Bible puts me off a bit. Hmm. I felt like the group took a very atomized look at a lot of different verses. It was almost like they only ever did word studies. Hmm. One thing that stood out to me was there's a line in Jeremiah when Jeremiah is describing how unfaithful Israel is, and he says the land is chaos and confusion, but it's an explicit allusion to Genesis 1.
Yeah.
And they tried to make that connection and say, well, if Jeremiah used those words talking about an earth that already existed with people on it, maybe those same words in Genesis were used to talk about an earth that already existed with people, and the story of the creation of Adam is God sending down his first pastor to lead the beasts of the field, which are people without God's word. Like, they introduced this all really slowly, gradually.
Wow, interesting. But
yeah, the whole interpretation they had of Genesis really threw me for a loop. But
I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah, but so I'd learned about how to interpret Genesis symbolically the way the Catholics do.
Yeah.
And where, you know, Adam and Eve aren't historical figures. They're allegories for processes that took a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. But they were trying to teach, well, you know, Cain got his wife from somewhere and Cain was afraid someone would kill him. So there had to be other people.
Yeah.
But Adam and Eve were literal individuals who had Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Trying to reconcile the literal and the metaphorical in a strange way.
Yep. And so then because the text is so sparse, mm-hmm. and these questions about who did Cain marry, who did Cain feel threatened by? Mm-hmm. These questions have been around before the Christian era into the Jewish. I mean, they're obviously there in this those blank spaces are obviously there. And so what usually happens is different groups fill them in different ways with different backstories.
Right.
And that particular backstory I hadn't heard before.
You know, there's a lot about this Bible study group that in retrospect seems really cult-like, but they really tried to kind of undermine everyone's trust in any other version of Christianity out there. Yeah. Like, we have the correct interpretation of the Bible. You know, your Catholic school filled your head full of lies. Yeah.
So do you know anything about that? It'd be interesting to find. I'd be curious to start asking them questions about, you know, who organized this group? Who's providing the space? Who's, you know, what kind of books do you read? So, religion, it's a hard thing for people who are not into religion to understand. I mean, it is the nerdiest, most vast, diverse plane out there in terms of interpretations, in terms of traditions. So I'm not at all surprised. Mm-hmm. Not at all surprised by the story you tell me. And campuses for many religious traditions, including my own. They are high priority targets in a sense, because people in their early 20s are, you know, open
right, to stuff. Right. Yeah, we're looking for groups to join.
Sure. Looking to make friends, looking for groups to join, looking to learn stuff. So, well, there you have it. It's not a bad place to work. So,
yeah.
And but then also once you get a hold of something, it's just the way life works. Once you get a hold of something, there will be not that. And so if you're really excited about this, you're going to naturally be kind of opposed to not that.
Right.
Unless you say, well, I'm never opposed to not that. But then you're opposed to, you know,
going in too many directions.
That's right. Too many directions. So it's just the way life is. So, yeah. And when I bump into that, it's like, oh, okay, well, those are your filters. You have gun people, you have mushroom people, you have political people, you have religious people. You have people who are interested in all kinds of things. And once you're really big into something, there's going to be a not that that you're going to tell people, oh, don't do that.
Because
this.
Yeah. And like, I started out wanting to trust this group because, you know, I was learning good stuff about the Bible. I was making friends and I kind of went along with maybe a lot more than I should have, but I felt like most of the arguments I was getting into were like really theologically based, because they deny the Trinity, for example, and
yeah, maybe it was a cult.
It's categorized as a cult. It's an organization called Shincheonji. They're based in South Korea.
Oh, interesting.
I was able to look them up and kind of found out their end game, as it were.
Oh.
When I was just in it, they were like, oh, we're just a non-denominational Bible study, and I should have questioned why they had branches in, they're in Berkeley, they're in San Francisco, they're in Sacramento, they're in Davis, they're in Dixon. They have a lot of chapters around Northern California.
Interesting.
I should have asked more questions about the broad organization that sponsors them.
Well, you never know. The non-denominational thing is funny too, because I bump into that a lot. People are like, well, I want to go to a non-denominational church. It's like, oh, so you want to go eat food that you have no idea where it's come from or who's behind it. Okay. I prefer to go into the restaurant in California, see that big A on the outside that says, oh, the health inspector's been here. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. You know, say what you will about the Catholics. We've got thousands of years of archives you can look at.
That's right. At least, you know, everybody knows their dirt, except of course the conspiracy theorists who think they really know their dirt. So no, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, well, that's it. I'm not surprised by anything you've told me. And again, campuses are, you know, people get into these things and they get into it for very sociological reasons. I know one evangelical youth ministry that a big piece of their a big piece of their outreach strategy was find the best looking, coolest kids in high school. And if you can get them to be Christian, you know, you'll get a whole group after them. And it's, you know, have the hot girls in your church and the boys will find them. That's just people.
Yeah, I'm lucky I never fell for any of that. there was a girl or two in that group that I might have had my eye on. Yeah. it just breaks my heart, Paul, because they're all such nice people in that group. And the people I talk to, they seem genuinely, you know, curious, wanting to learn more about their faith. And I had a much deeper background in Christianity than most of the people in the group. And so I kind of think of my Catholic education as being like a vaccine against the really more out there interpretations of scripture. And so there was, I had enough of an understanding of the Bible from a different perspective that I could say, a few of the things you're saying here don't really add up. And I wasn't the most popular guy in the group.
No, that won't make it. Resisting the indoctrination will not make you popular. In fact, the group is designed exactly the other way.
Right.
As long as you keep acting like you're enjoying the food, they'll keep giving it to you.
Yeah. But, you know, when I went to school, like, especially high school, the people who taught us about the Catholic faith had this conviction that what we believe is true, therefore it can stand up to any challenge.
Right.
And so we were never really discouraged from asking questions and trying to really wrestle with these ideas.
Yeah. And I think that's a big difference between a cult and a church, is that a good church should say, you know, we're about the truth here. We're about discovery. You can be honest about your doubts. You can challenge the ideas that are being presented, and we will go back and forth. It doesn't somehow, I mean, by definition, cults try to undermine your agency.
Right.
And a healthy situation will tend to say, we're confident enough in what we're working on that we think at least, whether or not you buy into the whole thing, you know, maybe we'll earn your respect. Right. And then also go to the additional step that even if you don't believe like we do, we're still, you know, interested in being friends and talking and exploring and learning from each other. And that's, you know, I think that's become a deep part of the Western Enlightenment context that, mm-hmm. you know, we're, you know, hopefully we're not going to kill each other over some of these differences.
Right. It underlines the whole confidence in free speech that we have.
Yeah.
That, like, if you have the truth, then it can defend itself in an open marketplace.
Yeah. And that's, you know, sometimes people can be hard on the enlightened bit, but on the enlightenment, but that is one of the gifts that it gave to the West. And I think that's been one of the reasons it's been so potent in terms of people around the world want to live in a place where they are free to hold whatever idea they want to hold. My wife was just watching a Netflix on flat earthers the other day, and that was very interesting. I've known a few flat earthers, but none of the YouTube flat earthers. It's like, oh, I make YouTube videos too. Isn't this interesting? But at the same time, let's talk about it. Let's explore it. And you can be a flat earther, be a flat earther.
Right.
We'll talk about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, ultimately, it's not that important what shape the earth is.
Yeah, well, it depends on what you're doing.
right, fair enough.
If you're getting into a rocket, I think you're probably going to want some pretty good, some
heck, if you're getting into a steam
where your thing is pointed.
Yeah. You know, at least a rocket, you know, is not going to fall off the edge.
Yeah, that's true. We'll go up. Well, you don't want to hit the firmament because, you know, bang, and then get bounced back down. Depends how much space there really is up there. So, yeah. Well, very interesting. Was that mostly what you wanted to share, or?
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to talk about my experiences and the way, I don't know, the way I kind of let myself fall into this group because I felt like I needed a community.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of afraid to go to one of the Catholic churches around here because what if I hate it and never want to go back?
Well, you hate the little group and don't want to go back. So what's wrong with, would that be the scariest thing to happen?
Yeah, I think... Well, see, with the little group, they came to me. I was just walking across campus, and they were like, hey, do you want to come to this Bible study?
Mm.
And so in a way, I was like, oh, this is a sign from God. I almost didn't want to admit to myself that something that important could be going on. But part of me felt like this Bible study is really where I'm meant, because I could have stayed home that night, but I had to go out and get myself a joint. And it's like, you know, I was out there that night and someone came to me.
Yeah.
And what am I supposed to think about something like that?
Yeah. Well, and you know, in many ways, I mean, especially on a campus, you know, in Berkeley, there are so many Christian groups, mm-hmm. Roman Catholic and Protestant and Orthodox. There are so many legitimate Christian groups that would be happier. They'd be so happy if you walked in the door and said, I'm just looking for Christians to talk about, to have a Bible study with or talk about God with. I mean, they'd be thrilled to have you. In fact, if we decide to post this video, people will line up in the comment section and send me email and say, send Alex this because we'd love to have him visit our Bible study. That's, I mean, it's a buyer's market for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So most groups understand too, at least the ones who aren't cults.
Mm-hmm.
Most groups, if you go a few times and you just say, this wasn't really what I'm looking for. Yeah, they'll be a little disappointed, but they'll wish you well and maybe offer another group. I mean, people come to my church and if they say, well, pastor, you know, this really isn't what I'm looking for, I'm not going to curse at them. I'm going to say, well, what are you looking for? Maybe I can help you find a place that you can grow and flourish in, because most Christians, at least in this time and space, have a desire that people, they recognize that people are going to, there's fit involved with this kind of thing. And obviously if you're a Christian, you'll do much better if you're within a community, mm-hmm. and if the community fits you. So if in your case, you've got a lot of background in Roman Catholicism, you know, you could start there, but you know, you could look at other groups too. I've got people in my church that were baptized Roman Catholic and our church fits them. Other people leave the Christian Reformed Church and go to the Roman Catholic Church. So it's a pretty live market here in America. So I would encourage you to, you know, maybe instead of waiting for somebody to pick you up on the way to get some pot, maybe do a little bit of internet research and do a little surfing or ask around and say, mm-hmm. you know, is there a group? And, you know, even if you would say start with a priest or someone over in the Catholic Church to say, I'm really looking for a Bible study. Do you know what kind of study, what kind of things there are? My guess that in the Berkeley area, there's got to be tons of stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I'd say, you know, have a selection process a little different than the one you did and look for something, because there will be, your instinct is right. You will grow with the within the context of a community, the dynamic interaction, and what you're looking for to have a freedom of exploration, to be able to affirm what you've learned growing up from your Catholic upbringing, and the points that you'd really like to stabilize it, but also then to have the freedom to explore some of the other points and say, mm-hmm. I was taught this and I'm not really sure about this and I wonder about this. And a good group will afford you the kind of freedom to explore and then hopefully be helpful in that exploration.
Uh-huh.
So I would encourage you to look around a little bit and see what you can find. And
I know people I can talk to around here.
Yeah.
It's just a question of motivation. This might be the kick in the spiritual pants that I.
I have friends. Pot's been around for a long time, and I have friends who have smoked a lot of pot in their past, and many of them quit because they began to discover that pot sapped their motivation. So yeah. If you want more motivation, usually it's do less pot. And
that's a good point. It was easy to get by as a college student without motivation. I just kind of thought, this is how life is going to be. At least I'm figuring this out at 24.
Well, I hope you did okay as a college student.
Yeah, I did fine. I got skills. I'm building a website. Hopefully I can have a career from that.
Well, good. Well, I loved your story. Your story certainly brought a smile to my face. And
I'm glad. Happy to share it.
Got a few minutes left. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. You personally, do you know of any good churches in Berkeley? I have some friends who go to this one Grace Point. I believe they're non-denominational. It's pretty big. It's mostly Asian. Don't know that much about.
Yeah. So there are, there's some Christian Reformed churches in the Bay Area, but they're not particularly close to Berkeley. A good friend, I've got a bunch of good friends, or a couple of good friends. My friend Mark pastors at CRC in Alameda. My friend Larry pastors a CRC in, Hayward. That's a little bit south. Alameda's across the bridge. Right. So nothing real, real close.
Okay.
Churches, finding a church that really fits can be a little complicated and daunting. Usually people, and this is something that there's so many layers to this. One, of course, is a fit. Let's say you're raised Roman Catholic. You want something that's not, something that's intelligible, something that's helpful. But churches are really, we had a congregational meeting yesterday in our little church and just kind of a standard run through some questions to get people to talk about what they like about the church, what could be better, how can we make it better, so on and so forth. And just listening to people process that, churches are communities.
Right.
They are, you build strong, deep relationships. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit different in a college town because often with college students, they're going to be there for 4 or 6 years or something, and then they're gone. And so that's sort of hard on churches. So then you wind up with all these youth ministries, InterVarsity, Campus Crusade, these kind of things. Mm-hmm. which are geared to it. But when I was in college, I went to the campus church for a while because it was a Christian college. And then every week I went to a regular church that was a little ways away from campus once I had a friend who had a car. And I went to that church all through seminary too. So built relationships in that church. Churches are all about the relationships.
Right.
But you do want something that obviously is going to fit you in terms of your doctrine and all of those things. You don't want to go off into some cult because that actually finally the relationships in a cult will also go poorly if it's not built on the right foundation. So there should
I don't know how I feel about about the Roman Catholic Church as an institution or as a set of doctrines, but it's something I'd like to get a broader perspective on.
There should be, yeah. And I would say, you know, you could, you know, both of the, if you look at Christian Reformed Church in the Bay Area, you'll find the Hayward, Christ Community Hayward, which is the Christian Reformed Church. You'll find at Alameda CRC, and Pastor Mark over at Alameda, and Pastor Larry, and Pastor Sue over at, over in Hayward. I mean, both of them would be happy to sit down and go to coffee with you, and you know, they might know something, but they're not campus churches. They're a little ways away from you.
Right.
And again, I would like something more like that. If we post this video, my guess is that I'll get some emails that said, Paul, send this to Alex, because and you probably have a menu of three or four places that'll say, oh, you know, contact me, talk to me. Uh-huh. But generally speaking, the one-on-one relationship, mm-hmm. boy, if you can have lunch or coffee with a pastor and be able to ask your questions, and that'll get you nicely into the flow.
Yeah. Really, I feel like I want a mentor.
Yeah.
And I'm not in that position a lot. I'm generally very self-reliant. I have that temptation toward the kind of hyper-intellectual arrogance that Peterson's always warning about. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's my biggest obstacle to fitting myself into communities in a healthy way. Yeah.
There will be some churches that will have some pretty intentional discipleship programs mm-hmm. that will sort of pair you up one-on-one with usually Christians who have a little bit of experience and a little bit of knowledge. But even that's always, you know, finding the right relationship isn't necessarily easy. Mm-hmm. But in time, those kinds of relationships are so helpful. Mm-hmm. The pastor at Madison Square in Grand Rapids, Dave Bielan, was, when I was in seminary, you know, he was that for me, and he'd take us to the Catholic Retreat Center, and we'd, you know, have quiet there, and we did book studies, and you know, I learned a ton from my father, who was a pastor, but I also learned a lot from Dave Bielan, and so he was a good mentor to me. But again, most of this stuff tends to follow a little bit of persistence in terms of finding a community that seems promising, being a little persistent. People sometimes say, well, how do I get into church? Well, show up every week.
Right.
Well, you'll get noticed, and then go to the pastor or an elder or someone or a youth pastor or someone and say, hey, I want to learn more. I mean, for a lot of pastors, we don't get enough of that. And when that happens, it's like, oh yeah, okay, well, call me next week and here's my number and let's sit down and let's talk and let's begin the conversation. And
yeah,
it'll
you're,
flow.
You're a teacher at heart. You're such a teacher. It's wonderful.
So I hope that helps. And I hope you're able to find something. And like I said, you can look up the Christian Reformed Church in Alameda and the one in Hayward. And
I like Alameda. I go down to the beach there sometimes.
Well, there you go. You can start with Mark. Mark's a young pastor. He's been in Alameda a few years. I've actually been Mark's mentor in terms of the Christian Reformed Church, because they usually pair young pastors with older pastors. So I've been Mark's mentor, and I've been in the Alameda CRC for I've done some consulting with them. So they're wonderful people, and you know, again, might be a good place to start, and you'd walk in the door and, you know, they'd be happy to have you. So that's the way it goes.
All right. Well, thanks for the advice. Thanks so much for hearing me out.
You're very welcome. And God bless your search. So I'll end this recording and I'll send it to you, and you can decide what you'd like to do with it.
I decided now you have my full permission to post it.
Okay. Okay. I will probably post it this week or next.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.